Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
We are in the middle of a common sense series. Everyone say common sense. And last week, Pastor Paul did an amazing job of kicking us off and taking us on the journey of allowing us to realize that God has principles for us to live by. And these principles aren't just principles to live, but really they're a principled life and a principled pattern and pathway that we might actually walk in freedom. And specifically what we've been looking at is the principles that God has in His Word that allow us to walk in a financial freedom that God has in our life. And what we looked at really incredibly well last week is that there were four key components to establishing a strong foundation for financial freedom. And they were number one, stewarding, number two, seeding, number three, saving, and number four, spending. And I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week for whatever reason, please jump online, go and listen to it, get that in your spirit, get that in your soul, delve into what that looks like for you, because it was a great, great time. And this morning, we're going to be unpacking a little bit in greater detail about one of those topics, and that topic is specifically the one of stewarding. Everyone say stewarding. Stewarding. And my prayer this morning would be that no matter how we've walked in, that we would engage with God's word and that we would allow it to transform us this morning. So I would love for you to open up Luke chapter 6, verse 43. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. It will be up on screen if you don't have your Bible with you, so you can follow along. That would be awesome. Luke chapter 6, verse 43, and it says this: a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes aren't picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Come on, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we get to exist in relationship with you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us this morning, that we would all be transformed to reflect and reveal you at greater levels in our lives. And God, we just pray that even as we delve into your word, that you would be heard, Lord. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would step forward and that I would step back and that we would all know you better in your precious and mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, question, have you ever just had a great boss in your life? Anyone know what I'm talking about? I really hope a lot of staff here are looking at me right now. I just go. But have you ever had, like, I remember my first ever job, it was actually at a coffee shop. And I used to work there from 5:45 to 8 a.m. before school every morning, from year 10, 11, and year 12. So I would rock up, 5:45 start, 8 o'clock, and then walk to school because it was kind of near my school. And so I went there, and the time might sound rough, but my boss was awesome because I rocked up and he had a coffee waiting for me. Come on, somebody. And at that stage, I wasn't really into coffee, so it may have started as a hot chocolate and then progressed to like a caramel latte, but eventually, pretty quickly, I got to the real stuff of just a double shot latte right in the morning, you know, like real coffee stuff. I'm like the fake coffee drinkers out there who get all the syrups in their coffee. Anyways, I digress. But it was amazing. So I would always rock up and he was amazing. He always had a coffee ready and waiting for me. And then when I started it, and then when I was walking down to school, he would always have a coffee ready and waiting for me for when I would be walking down to school. I never asked him. It wasn't in my contract. It's just what he did, and he knew and he was aware. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And then it got even better. Because sometimes in the morning, what would happen is that he would give me some of the food that was prepped for the day for my lunch at school, which was incredible and gave me such trading value at school. I don't know if your school was like this, but there was kind of like a weird black market of food that went on at my school. It was like, what snacks did you bring and what could you trade them up for, you know? But then you always had that one friend that was always like, oh, I've never tried that before. Just to try and really, you know, like you had something and they're like, oh, I've never tried that before. And you're like, that's great. You're not trying it today. It's mine. Unless you have something of equal or better value, in which case we can talk. But it was great. Like, I never asked for it. It's never something that we spoke. It's just something that he operated and acted in. And man, it actually was incredible. And I really loved him. But on the flip side, have you ever experienced maybe a boss that you weren't the biggest fan of? Way less hands went up then. Great. But often what the case of that is because our boss is telling us to do something that we don't necessarily agree with or don't want to do. For me, haven't necessarily had the experience of a boss, but I have had this with a coach in my life. See, I grew up playing, it's not very popular here in South Australia, but I grew up playing rugby union. And there's like two people always that support me in the crowd. I love it. Thank you for all those two people. But I grew up playing rugby union and I loved it. It was a great sport. And what would take place is that there's kind of two teams within the team in rugby. There's a forward pack and a back line. And they kind of have two very different roles. And so what would take place is that you would actually have two different coaches for within the teams. You would have a forward pack coach and you'd have a back line coach. And they would coach you for your team within that. So our forwards would all go together in the back line. And I was in the forwards and we had a great time. I was a flanker. I was an outside flank in case anyone's wondering and anyone's interested at all. I was going to go pro until I blew my knee out. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. But what took place is that we had this one coach in our forward pack, and to be honest, he was kind of one of those coaches that no one really liked. But reality is that he was really good at his job. His job was to get us match ready and get us aware and fit enough that we might be able to win the game and that we might be able to accomplish our main goal. And so what would take place is that he would be the coach that he called everyone like 2 months before the season starts and goes, hey, training's starting and they're all going to be fitness. And you're like, oh, I hate this guy. It's all fitness. It's running continuously and continuously. And what happened is that for me, I'm like, yeah, but the season is 2 months away. Why do we have to do this? But what I failed to realize in my lack of wisdom in it is that he had a greater understanding of what was required in order to succeed in the game. And he knew that if we could be fit enough going into the season, that we would be on a momentum trajectory in winning games in our season. He would be the coach that would make us drill things time and time again. He would be the coach that pulled us to the side and said, hey, I want you to run this line. And you'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. And he's like, no, but I want you to do it. Why? Because he had a great perspective, and whenever we surrendered our wisdom to his, it ultimately landed better for us. And really what this is and what we're looking at, and maybe you've experienced that with a boss in your life, or maybe you've experienced that with something else in your life, what that is really a modern day version of what we would call lordship. So when you read lordship in the Bible, and when we read in Luke, when Jesus is saying there, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? The reality is that what we're talking about is someone that has a higher perspective and a higher understanding and a higher wisdom that is directing us and laying out principles and giving us wisdom, not so that he might make our life hard, but so that we might walk in the freedom that he has for us. That just like my coach in my rugby game, that even though I didn't understand why we were running fitness beforehand, when it got to the season and when we got to the finals, I understood that there was something that he knew back then that I didn't know yet. And when we surrender our wisdom, our will to his ways, that is when Jesus becomes Lord in our lives. See, Lord is the one possessing control or authority or power over our lives. And what we need to realize is that if we want a strong and steady foundation, if we want to walk in freedom, it needs to be built on the revelation that Jesus is Lord. Yes. That he is Lord. This is not an opinion. This is truth. The Bible puts it this way, that every knee must bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus is Lord. Now, this world may not do it today, but one day we will all be facing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there will be a moment where they have to say Jesus is Lord. But for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus here on earth, guess what? We get to experience that here today and walk in the freedom and foundation that he gives us. See, Jesus is more than just the Messiah. He's more than just the Savior. He is Lord of all. In the Old Testament, the word Lord is used as a divine title for Yahweh. And in the New Testament, we see the word Lord used to direct and point people to Jesus. In fact, it's used over 740 times in the New Testament to refer to Jesus. See, Jesus is Lord. And I think if we're honest, if you're like me, sometimes I can drift into the idea that Jesus is my Savior and forget about the fact that He's meant to be Lord over all. It's not just Savior, it's Savior and Lord. See, Jesus is the Lord of our life. And when we receive Jesus as Lord, it's the difference between us as Christians just making a commitment and choosing to live surrendered. In other words, it's the difference between having a foundation that is weak or having one that is strong. When we have Jesus as Lord, as we read in Luke, what happens is that we do deep work that enables us to stand on a strong foundation so that when the waves, when the wind, when the storms of life come, we're not standing on our own authority, but we're standing on His. Because He is the one who is Lord of my life. But this is what I want to encourage us with this morning, is that He must be Lord of all if He's to be Lord at all. There's no such thing as partial lordship. Does He have the authority over every part of my life? Now, the goal of this is not perfection and for us to have it all perfect. The goal of this is for us to be constantly being transformed and constantly giving God more and more as it's revealed to us more and more. As we learn and as we discover more about ourselves, the goal of discipleship and why we're discipled to Him first is that we might hand it over to Him and go, God, I didn't even realize I wasn't having You as Lord in this area, but now that I do, I'm going to surrender it to You because You are Lord of all, or else You're not Lord at all. He needs to be Lord of our entire life. And the question that we have to ask this morning in the middle of our Common Sense series is this: is Jesus Lord over my finances? Does He have authority over my material world? Because the truth is, my material world will either operate in a surrendered position or an unsurrendered position. Now, a reminder: He is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. And I realize that in this room, as I'm speaking about this, there's many stories, there's many different thoughts, there's many journeys. Some of you are going, Dan, you don't understand, my finances are quite tight. We're in this Common Sense series, but finances are tight at the moment. Some of you might be thinking the economy isn't good. Some of you might be thinking, man, but I've earned this and I've created this. Some of you might be thinking, man, I've heard this before from other churches, other things. No matter where you are this morning, what I want to remind us of is this, is that the discipleship journey is not about our thoughts, but it's about us surrendering and aligning our thoughts to His thoughts. So what we're going to be talking about this morning isn't an opinion. It's God's word and His truth and His ways of thinking, that throughout this morning and throughout this journey as we go through this series, my prayer, my hope, and my heart and my encouragement would be that we begin to align our thoughts with His thoughts. That no matter where we find ourselves, whether we have never understood and never delved into what this means for us of Jesus being Lord of our finances, whether we did once and we haven't been recently, or whether we've been hurt by it, no matter where you find yourself, God's goal and design and desire is that we might be reconciled to His ways so that we might stand in freedom. We might stand in freedom. Remember, the point is that we might have a solid foundation so that when storms come, that we might be able to stand strong. See, what we discover in God's word is that stewardship, stewarding the finances that God gave us in His ways, is not a financial problem, but actually a lordship one. Yeah. Remember, if Jesus needs to be Lord of all, to be Lord at all. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to be reading 6 verses in the New King James Version. I didn't go King James Version because I don't have the understanding to understand all the these and theys all the time, to be honest. But we'll go to the New King James Version. It's great. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. I want us to read this together as we go on this journey of surrendering our ways of thinking to his ways of thinking. And it says this, for I am the Lord. This is God speaking. I am the Lord and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy your fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I don't know about you, but I read that scripture and the second half, I'm like, yes, that sounds great. That sounds amazing. And it is amazing. And the thing that's amazing about it is that we don't just receive that, but God gives us a pathway to receive it. It puts it this way, Malachi, where he says, hey, there are ordinances. In other words, there are decrees, there are principles, there are pathways for us to step into all that God has for us. I love what it says in here where it says, God says this, he goes, return to me and I will return to you. See, this isn't just a God setting all these rules. No, this is a personal God who wants good things for you, who has blessing for you, who has fruitfulness for you, who has freedom for you, and has outlaid a principle and a pattern and a pathway for us to walk in that. And all we have to do is choose to walk in that principle, to keep his ordinances so that we might receive from this personal God. He goes, return to me and I will return to you. See, the Father's heart is always closeness and always to bless us. We see it right here in Malachi. And what we also read is that really stewarding is about giving God authority in my financial reality. See, when I uphold his decrees, when I uphold his command, when I give what belongs to him, what I'm doing is actually inviting the authority of God into my financial reality. What I'm doing is I'm going, God, I'm bringing your authority down, which by the way, when you read this, it says that God says, will I not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you so much so that you won't have room for it anymore? This is the God we're talking about. Remember, the creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into us, the miracle worker, the peacemaker, the one who defeated sin and defeated death. This is the same God. Remember, he does not change. This is the same person. It's the same God talking to us. And what he says is, hey, if you do this, oh man, just you wait. I'm going to pour out the blessings on you. So much so you won't have room for it anymore. And in our human tendencies, sometimes we look at the first bit of that Malachi verse without reading the second bit. We go, I don't know if I want the ordinance, but you need to realize on the other side of the ordinance is the Father's heart of blessing waiting for you and closeness and intimacy with him. So stewarding is about inviting God's authority into our financial reality. It's about returning to him and a closeness with him. So we actually see this all the way in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Go find the story in Genesis if you don't know it, but most of us will know the story. And what takes place is that Adam and Eve are in this garden, which is perfection. They walk with God on a daily basis. There's closeness, there's intimacy, and it's also a place of provision for them. God's provision is their only source. It's incredible. It's this amazing picture of God's design that he wants for me and you. It's incredible. And yet what takes place is that they get removed from the place of God's provision. Why? Because they took what belonged to God in the first place. It's interesting. If you go and read Genesis 2 and 3, we're not going to read it this morning, but if you go do it and you read it, there's this incredible outworking. And you know what it says? 13 times in Genesis 2 and 3, it refers to God as Lord God. Every time it says about God, it says Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. And it's interesting. The serpent, the enemy comes along. And it's the first time that he goes, did God really say? See, Adam and Eve lost the place of provision, of God's provision, not because God didn't have grace, but because they removed him as Lord in their life. He was Lord every single time before that. And then the enemy came and he goes, hey, did God really say? See, the enemy's goal in yours and my life is to remove God as Lord over our life. His goal is to remove us from the place of provision. But he doesn't do it by just going, hey, step on out of here. No, he goes, hey, did God really say? And what he does is he's questioning if God is a Lord of our life. See, to keep us, his goal is to keep us from experiencing and living the reality of God's authority in our life. And it's fascinating to me why so many Christians, yes, even here at Life, debate the issue of tithing. Why the debate? Well, when you go and you study scripture, you see it's because the spirit of mammon operates here on earth. And if we're honest, it actually operates within us. What is the spirit of mammon? The spirit of mammon is the same spirit of what the enemy did all the way in the garden. Yeah. Removing God as Lord of my life, allowing something else to take its place. Mammon is a confidence on riches and in riches. In other words, a confidence that is found in my money or my material world. Strong's Concordance defines it as this way. Mammon is what is trusted in. Question, what do you trust in? What do you trust in? So what does the spirit of mammon do? Well, it seeks the place of sovereignty in our life. It seeks the place of Lord in our lives. It seeks to remove God as Lord, just like we saw in the garden. And here's the thing we need to realize, is that our tithe is the antidote to the spirit of mammon. See, tithing isn't a financial issue. It's a lordship issue. And the enemy would love the church and love Christians to get all caught up about it being a financial issue. He would love for us to focus on the fact that it's about the finances and all the nitty-gritty details and keep debating about whether you should, whether it's Old or New Testament, whether it's fulfilled by Jesus or not. Keep debating all those things. Yes, why he's happy for that? Why? Because when we're doing that, we're not actually addressing the real issue, and that is that tithe isn't a financial one, it's a lordship issue. Tithing is the antidote to the spirit of mammon in our lives, the spirit that removes God as Lord in my life and places something else there instead, places my job there, places my own provision, places what I've created, places the material there. That's what he wants. So he's happy for us to argue about if it's a financial thing or not. But if we're not careful, we're missing that's actually a lordship issue, not a financial one. Luke 16, verse 13 puts it this way. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. Catch this, this is Jesus speaking. You cannot serve God and mammon. He is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Don't get caught up in thinking that tithing and stewarding is a financial issue. No, it's a lordship one. You have to start at the root. You have to start at the beginning. It's a lordship issue. Not only is tithing not about finances, but about lordship, but tithing is also an entrusted decision. Check this out. In Luke 16, verse 11, it says this. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we have not been faithful with the riches and the material and the money that we have in our world now, how can we ever expect to receive the true riches of heaven and the freedom that comes with it? Why? Because remember, it's a lordship issue. And so when it lands in our hand, the reason we speak about tithing here this morning is this, is that it's a lordship issue, but it's also an entrusted decision. What are we saying? It's saying, God, you can trust me with greater levels because I trust you with greater levels. That's the process. It's an entrusted decision in our life. So often, we don't trust God with our finances. And if I ask myself the question, why haven't I in the past? And sometimes in my world, in my life, it's because we see our material world as ours rather than God's. I worked hard. I created it. I earned it. And as a result, we keep it to ourselves instead of entrusting it to Him. But if I could remind us all here this morning that God is the one who breathed air into our lungs, that He is the one who made us able to live in this amazing country called Australia, where automatically by living here, we are in the top percentage of the world when it comes to how we live. God is the one who makes a way. God is the creator of everything. We only stand here. I only stand here today because God is the one who blessed me with everything in my life. I'm so thankful for my incredible wife. I'm so thankful for my amazing daughter, Zaria. I'm so thankful for this house and this church, my friends, my family, for the house, for the cars we get to drive, for the suburbs we get to live in. I'm so thankful for all of it. Why? Because God gave it to me. If I begin to think I've earned this, I've created this, it might be a signal that the spirit of mammon is beginning to creep in a little bit and make me Lord of my life instead of God Lord of my life. See, it's an entrusted decision. And when we put our trust in our money and our material world, it always falls short. Like I said before in Luke, it's about us building a foundation. When we put our trust in the money and the material world, it's a shaky foundation. When storms come, they will rock us. But when we put our trust in Him, the foundation is strong and we stand firm. Not only that, but tithing is actually the testing ground as to whether I believe God is Lord over my financial world or not. Proverbs 3 verse 9 to 10 puts it this way, honor the Lord with all your possessions and with your first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, stewarding is about releasing God's authority over my material world. And whenever I have an opportunity to tithe and give and steward what it is that God's given me first, not only is it an issue of lordship, not finances, not only is it an entrusted decision, but it's a testing ground for me to measure, is God of Lord of my whole life? It's such an incredible moment, no matter what. Whenever there's an increase that comes, whether it's pay or a gift or whatever it might be, my spirit always goes, man, I want to give to God. But there's always this little thought that goes, oh, should you? But it always is settled really quickly by the fact, no, Jesus is Lord of my life, not mammon. See, it's an entrusted decision, but it's also a testing ground as to where we are at when it comes to Jesus being Lord of our entire life. See, God's house, here known as life, all the incredible things that we do here in community, in kids ministry, in youth, in groups, the discipleship that's taking place is all built on, number one, God's faithfulness, but number two, the obedience of people following God's ways and His word. And so the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this, if God's house was a reflection of my commitment to tithing, what would it look like? Remember, this is not a financial issue, it's a lordship one. So in closing this morning, as the band come up, I want to remind us of four things that when we steward and when we have Jesus as Lord and when we operate in this way, these are four things that happen within our life. Number one, it aligns our reality to God's purposes. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 puts it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. So remember, we're not talking about a financial, we're talking about a lordship issue. And when we trust in God with all of our life and lean not on our own ways, lean not on our own understanding or our own ways of thinking, what takes place is that He is the one who guides our steps. He is the one who orders our steps. He is the one who makes our path straight. No longer is it about me trying to make my life all that it needs to be, but rather it's an entrustment decision. And with that, the authority of God comes on it and it aligns my life with the reality that God calls me to each and every day. What that also means, though, is that I don't need to have a bunch of finances in order to experience financial freedom. Reminder, we're talking about lordship, which means that when I'm surrendered, when I hold it open, when I'm standing on my strong foundation, what is taking place, it doesn't just mean that I'm going to have all these tons of finances. It means I'm going to have a freedom. The spirit of mammon won't touch me. Why? Because I've surrendered to him. Unsurrendered wealth is kind of like seawater. The more you drink it, the thirstier you become. But when we step into stewardship, I love it when the Bible says that Jesus is our living water. Because when we have him as Lord, we're not thirsting for things anymore. He is the quencher of our thirst. Not only does it align our reality to God's purposes, but number two, it opens the windows of heaven. As we read in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That there may be food in my house. And try me on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you that there will not be room enough to receive it. Powerful image. I almost get this picture of this powerful wave just kind of crashing down with such an anointing, such a blessing. It's available to me and you if we were to live a principled life and have him as Lord over everything in our lives. I love what it says there in Malachi as well. It says that we can test God on this. You know, this is the only area in the Bible where God says, test me on this. That's the confidence we have. And yet, once again, the enemy would love to have us arguing about what tithing is. It a financial thing? Is it Old, New Testament, Old Covenant? Is it fulfilled in Jesus and all that? And we're missing the scriptures. We're missing the point of a lordship and God going, hey, if you were to outwork it, if you were to follow me, if you were to outlive the principle, I will pour this out even so much so that you can test me on it. That's how serious God is about it. Because the reality is that we live in a world where money and material are their gods. Yeah. Think about it. Your friends, your family that aren't in church, that don't have a relationship with Jesus, who and what makes their decisions for them? Yeah. Who's Lord of their life? Yeah. Who decides what job they take? What's the first thing they speak about? The pay? What's the first question people ask when you're talking about a new job? Oh, how much does it pay? Who decides what schools your friends' kids go to? What cars they drive, where they live, how much they can be generous, what goes on in their world? It's all decided by money, by the material. And we are not called to live the same as the world. We're called to live counterculture to the world. And so reality is that we need to be different. And in a season and a time where it seems like the economy is getting worse from the world's perspective, that's the time for us as a church to settle the lordship issue, that we might walk in the blessing that God has for us. And when people look at us and they're like, how are you not filled with fear about what's going to happen? We get to say, hey, I'm not filled with fear because I'm following Jesus. Because remember, we're not just, this isn't a financial decision. It's a lordship one. It's a lordship one. And when we do that, there's a blessing that comes. I'll never forget, when me and Ashari first got married, we were both working part-time here at church, and we just felt called to serve God and serve God, and we wanted to give more than above of what we just paid for, so we were just volunteering our time as well. And I'll never forget that one year we felt like we wanted to bless someone, and we felt like God laid it on our heart, and so we did it, and we outworked it. And that same week, there was a bill that came in that we weren't expecting. We're like, oh, we got to try and pay it. And the same week, we're like, no, we got to, we get paid, and we got to tithe, and we got to do that. And I remember getting to the end of it, going, man, there's nothing left, and we're coming up to Christmas, and we're like, cool, we're just gonna have a staycation. It's gonna be lots of fun. And I never forget this moment that we rock up home, and we hadn't told anyone about this. We rock up home. And someone had slipped the envelope under our door. We have no idea who it was. And there was close to $1,000 in there. And on it was, I want you to have a holiday. We had not spoken to anyone about the fact that we didn't have much money to go away, that we didn't have money for a holiday. And yet God, in his amazing blessing, as we followed him, as we committed to him, as we continued to tithe and continued to listen to him and have him as Lord over our finances and were settled with whatever had, in his wisdom, he is the one, and his generosity and his blessing, he guided someone else who had no idea about our situation to bless. This is the God that we serve. See if he will not open the heavens and pour out a blessing. Number three, not only when we live in stewardship does it align our reality to God's purposes, not only does it open the windows of heaven, but it also denies that access, the enemy access to our lives. Malachi 3:11 says, this is God speaking, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for your fields, says the Lord. See, every time we receive an increase, it attracts two spirits, the spirit of mammon and the spirit of God. And we choose which one we engage with. We choose which one we surrender to. We choose what happens with that every single time. But when we tithe, as we remember, it's the antidote to the spirit of mammon. And what happens is that God goes, hey, why don't you stand in my protection then? He is the one who protects us when we walk in lordship with him. Not only that, but lastly, it provides a platform for our peace. Reminder what it says in Luke 6. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. When Jesus is our Lord, he leads us into freedom. When Jesus is our Lord, he leads us into peace. And no longer is our freedom, our peace, our security swayed by our situation, because it's resting in the one who is the Lord of our entire life. When we follow the one, his word and his ways, no matter what comes our way, we stand free and free indeed. It's a lordship issue, not a financial one. I'm wondering if you can stand with me this morning. Just a second, I've asked the team just to lead us in worship, because we've spoken about the word, but some of us might be in a position where we need to do some business with God and really wrestle and settle and make the decision to have him Lord of our entire life. A reminder that stewardship isn't a financial issue, it's a lordship one. And so my question for us all this morning is, who is Lord over your life? Placing Jesus as Lord will be hard, because it is counterculture. It's different to what the world says, as it should be. It will be hard moments, but it's never complicated. And this is what my encouragement to you would be. Take the antidote of the spirit of mammon, choose him as Lord, and start today. Don't have the mentality of when this, when that. You go, God, I choose to make you Lord my entire life. To walk in his promise and the freedom that he has for us, we have to walk in his principles.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you're encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Adelaide campus. If you'd like to know more about Life, then visit our website at lifeadelaide.org or download the Life Adelaide app and stay connected.